Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
An ale for me and for my officers.
Welcome in to Ten Ford. Have a seat, grab a drink, a synthesol, synthahol, whatever you want to call it. Do what you need to do. Welcome to the show. I'm Zach. I'm your host. And this week, we are back at it again with another episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. We're not doing Discovery this week. I haven't been able to catch up on Discovery, so I think I'm going to do a special episode that's going to recap a couple of episodes. I'll have to watch, you know, two to three to catch up for the week. Who knows? What are we going to do? But we're here for Star Trek The Next Generation, Lonely Among Us. And I have to say, quick thoughts first. I don't really remember this episode growing up. I thought it was going to lead to one episode that I knew where the guy had like this alien had like TikTok eyes mouth kind of deal, but it was not that. But I was expecting it the whole time. That being said, this episode, what a banger! Like, it is full of mystery. I feel like everybody from the main cast gets to play with this one. I think it begins a trend that we're going to see later on in seasons. Overall, I think this episode stands strong. That being said, there is one kind of minor hiccup that I'll get to at the end of where I think, you know, we didn't really get a full explanation on something, but we'll get there. But let's get into the episode, and I'm going to give you a brief synopsis real quickly for this episode, Lonely Among Us. Did I say that right? Yeah, Lonely Among Us. Of course I did. All right. While distracted by two alien races applying for Federation memberships, the Enterprise picks up a sentient entity that can alternate possesses either man or machinery. Hate that description. Boy, oh boy. But yeah, so the basic plot of this one is there is this entity that can travel via man or machine, woman, machine, whatever. But we have a B story plot, and we'll get into the B story plot later on. We'll just focus on the main stuff right now. We'll get into the wolves and the snakes later. So Worf and Geordi are in a sensors maintenance mode. They're down there trying to fix up on things like that. The ship picks up these two races and they're on their way to the next destination. And before they head on their way, they see this cloud and they're like, hey, let's go check this out. We're Star Trek. We're on a trek. Let's go discover new things and stuff. So they do like a minor scan to it and nothing really is going down. But Worf and Geordi, as I said, were in this, the sensor maintenance, and they were getting their little information on. And then Worf noticed something going on one of the panels. So he goes and checks it out. And then he touches something and a shock goes through him. We see lightning go through Worf. And I'm going to be honest, we were about 1 second away from this just being the most hilariously bad thing I've ever seen. Because Worf touches electricity and you see him like with shock face, probably the thumbnail for this episode. And he's like, and I was totally prepared for it, like showing Worf, then showing Geordi just messing about, doing his thing, coming back to Worf, still shocked, going to Geordi. I thought it was going to be a comedy bit, which I was all in for. So he gets shocked. Dr. Crusher gets called. He wakes up and he's like throwing one of the other officers off. Geordi does this killer crossbody to keep Worf down, and Crusher like sedates Worf. So they move Worf up top, go to sick bay, and Crusher is doing some research, has a sweet Nintendo VR headset that she has, doing some studies on Worf because they don't understand why, like, what's going on with him. His system's weird and stuff. And all of a sudden, that electricity runs through Crusher, and Crusher starts acting weird. So you're kind of already catching on that there's something going on and going through all these people. Worf wakes up, and Worf doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know why he's in sickbay getting handled. And Deanna Troi's down there trying to figure it out, too. And she asks Crusher, being like, yo, so what's up with my mans and them? And she's like, oh, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Yeah, it is what it is. I'm going to take a breather. Leaves, goes to her room, which I guess now knowing what we know now, like, how did Crusher know where she stays? Unless if she goes, yo, computer, we've seen this. Computer, where do I stay? Like, where would I go to my bedroom? And it would guide her there. So if that happened, then I guess I can't complain. But anyway, she goes back to her room, where that's where Wesley Crusher is, and he's studying, and she's like, oh, I want to know everything about what you're studying. And he's like, well, you don't care about none of this warp stuff. And she takes a look at it, and she's like, yeah, yeah, we got to go driving, though. Whoa, where's that? The bridge. The helm's at the bridge. So then she leaves. Wesley's like, yo, mom acting weird AF. So she goes up to the bridge. She's messing about. She's trying to figure out how she can drive the ship, but trying to keep it low key. Captain Picard's like, what's wrong with Worf? And she says, oh, it's, he got a headache. You know what I mean? He forgot who he was for like 5 seconds. And she starts going around, and he's like, yo, I need better explanation from my officer about my offices. Okay. You need to tell me more. So she says, I could do more studying up here. And he goes, all right, well, go to science panel over there, which, by the way, love that now we know what all these panels are. Like, these are the main computers. That's why people are in the back there. They're messing with the stuff. So there's a science station, too, and that's where she's going. So she goes, hangs out there. Data's next to her, and he's looking. She's like, yo, why are you messing with the helm systems over there? What are you doing? Electricity flows through her back into the computer. Beverly's like, huh, what am I doing here? And Captain Picard goes, are you all right, Dr. Crusher? And she goes, yeah. I just got to do more studying in my office. I think I'd be more suitable there. So I'll talk to you later. Big red flag there. Because why would, if something's going on, if you were messing with somebody who has problems, like Worf won't acting like Worf, and then you forget why you are up here, that's red flag number one that you should have been telling Picard, yo, man, I don't know how I got up here. I was messing with Worf. Now I'm up here. And then Picard could have been like, okay, so you were just telling me he had like a hangover. And she could have been like, that's not my analysis. And we could have just jumped ship right here. We could have been like, okay, something freaky going on. So now the computers in this bad boy are messing up, like warp drive's going down. They can't do anything. And they're kind of blaming it on like, yo, this is a new ship. Why is she falling apart so quickly? And so then they take some meetings and stuff like that. The computer systems are acting weird. In engineering, they got a junior chief, assistant to the regional manager chief, is down there trying to work on it. And Wesley figured it out. And he's like, all right, scram, kid, go learn your books. And Wesley's like, I can help you out. And he's like, nah, dog, I got this. I'm going to reap the benefits here. You did the work. I'm going to reap the benefits. So get the fuck out of here, kid. So Wesley leaves, and he's messing with stuff. And he gets up from one of the control panels, and then the electricity gets him and kills him. And Worf finds the body, okay? So now we got a dead person on the ship. Commander Riker doesn't understand what's going on. And during this talking to Data, they think there's a saboteur going around doing this. and they bring up finally, well, finally, but this is the beginning stages, bring up a mystery. Like, this is a case for Sherlock Holmes. And this intrigues Data. So much so, Data reads up on all the cases of Sherlock Holmes, and he starts talking like, motherfucker's got a pipe, and he's piping along. He's like, elementary, my dear Watson, and shit like that, even though there's no Watson. So he's figuring out that there's a saboteur and such. And eventually, they kind of figure out that what's going on, they think an entity, as I said earlier, poorly earlier during this little description, that there's an entity on board, and then eventually the entity takes over Picard. And this is when, like, full stop, I love Patrick Stewart. He starts playing differently. Like, and I mean this nicely. I'm not even ragging on anybody. Like, Worf didn't get time to play like this. Beverly Crusher really didn't, like, get to perform or whatever. But when the entity takes over Jean-Luc Picard, there's a different strut to him. Like, he's playing around. He's being a little creepy and stuff like that. Like, it starts getting a little spooky, if you will. And I like it. So when he takes over Picard, he's like, yo, double back to that cloud. Because they still got their B plot going on, which we'll get into the B plot right now before we get to the finale. The B plot to this, as I said earlier, is that two alien races are trying to join the Federation, but the hiccup is that both these alien races hate each other. And one looks like a gnarly teen wolf, and the other looks like the snake from the bad dream in that fucking movie Dreamscape. Like, when the bad guy becomes a snake, that's what this guy looks like. That's what this entire creed looks like. So they don't even want to stay with on the same levels as each other. Riker's trying to handle situations and such. Like, there's a point where Tasha Yar gets Riker and she's like, yo, they mad they don't have their food here. And he said, we do. We just don't keep them live. And he was like, you don't keep these foods live? We got to eat these things fresh as fuck. Riker says, nah, dog, we do it with like our transporter. Like, we make fake meat. And he's like, fake meat, man? You crazy. That's barbaric. So, first cases of vegetarianism right here. Boom. So, eventually, the two races see each other because, like, at this point, Picard, who's now the entity, has turned the ship around to go back to the cloud. So, when Teen Wolf's going around the hallways trying to find out what's going on, he sees Snake Eye. He's like, oh, you mother sucker, we gonna go at it. And during this as well, like, Tasha Yar, who's having the worst security week of her life, she's going around as well. And, like, the snakes guys are capturing Riker. And what the hell are y'all doing? Like, it's getting crazy out here, honestly. And so they're dealing with that because they're not going to get to make it to their meeting with Picard turning this ship around. And they go towards the cloud. And they get to the cloud. And during this, like, the main crew, the commander, Riker, Beverly Crusher, Data, they're like, the captain's been taken over. I know he has. And they come confront him, Beverly and Riker. And the entity, as Picard's like, you know, people are acting strange on this ship. It'd be kind of bad if I got security up here, because you guys coming into my waiting room telling me I'm the entity? Maybe you're the alien entity. Maybe you're the ones who are messing things up. Why do I gotta answer all the time and tell you why I want stuff done the way it's done? Like, you crazy. Get the fuck out of here. That's word verbatim. So they couldn't get Captain Picard to, you know, do whatever. And eventually, he's like, hey, I need you guys to run brain scans, make sure you guys are okay. So when Beverly comes back and is like, yo, I took these tests, are you going to study them? You ain't Picard, is you? And Picard's entity's like, nah, it's both of us. We both in here, girl. This is the best of both worlds, if you know what I'm talking about. And they finally get back to the cloud, and Picard's like, all right, I'm going to beam over there with my Picard body because I want a mate. I want him to be here with me. If I'm in this cloud, you in this cloud. This is where we live. This is where we breathe, baby. So the crew try to stop him, and Entity does its fucking emperor. More power onto them. They can't move and stuff. So he leaves the bridge. He goes down to transporter room, probably six, I imagine, and beams over. And that shit was rad because from here on out, the show just became Poltergeist. Like, Carol Ann got trapped into the TV, which is the cloud in this verse. So the crew doesn't understand what's going on. And at that point, I was very interested of a sense, because if I was watching this in live, like, you know, when I was a kid and understood what was going on, like the original Star Trek, there was Captain Pike who was on the pilot, and then Captain Pike's gone, then Captain Kirk comes. You know, yes, it's behind the scenes stuff, but TV wise, they've already replaced the captain. So in my mind, back in my mind, I was like, oh man, what if this was like to tease, oh, we could get rid of anybody on this show. No one's safe on Star Trek TNG. We can do whatever we want. That would be wild. But again, we're in Poltergeist and they're trying to figure out like what's going on. Like Commander Riker is saying, maybe we're going to go. Maybe we should leave. And Troy's like, you gonna leave your mans and them here? That's wrong, man. That's cold-blooded. That's cold-blooded acting, Cap. So they start getting sensor stuff, and like Deanna Troi, who's obviously Tess from Poltergeist, is sensing Picard out there. Like he senses the entity and then Picard as well. And like even on the control panel, like where Geordi is, like it goes dark and then like all the lights make a P, and they're like, P for Picard, or it could be Painless. I don't know. So Data comes up with an idea where he's like, I got an idea. I think this could work. If we use the transporter room, and if he's floating around these parts and this ship, we should be able to get him. And long story short, they don't. They beam him back, and he doesn't remember a thing. And that was a big thing about like everybody. They didn't remember why they were there, but like he has kind of memories, and they were trying to exposition it where it was like, oh, he remembers just to this point. So, but no one else remembered up until that point. Everybody just had no memory whatsoever. But Picard has a little memory, kind of a little iffy there, but they kept with it. And right when he beamed back, here comes them aliens, like Tasha Yar being like, yo, they about to go scrapping. We need to figure this out. And Picard's like, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. Riker, it's on you. And it almost ends on a like comedy episode of like, da 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 da. It was awesome. But my one gripe before we finish up here that I had, which I'm forgetting now. No, I'm not. So they bring back Picard and stuff, and I guess they're going to go away. Like, there's no wrap-up on the entity, unless if I missed it. Like, there's no wrap-up. That cloud's just out there. They didn't do anything. Like, oh, we're back. Well, fire a fucking photon torpedo in there and blow that cloud up so it doesn't distress any other ships out there. Like, I love the idea that a supernatural being could, like, infiltrate the ship and people if they wanted. And, like, its entire goal is just to fucking swarm things to its way and stuff. Like, we didn't wrap it up. We don't have closure on the entity. Now, that being said, I don't know if that means maybe later down the line we do a follow-up episode and like, oh, I've missed you, Picard. I need you. I need you. I need you in my cloudy mess. I don't know. But where we stand, I'm glad they got Picard back and we finished up that. But I guess we just move on. I don't know how I feel about that. I just do not know how we feel about that. But overall, this episode was a good one. I mean, I think I wouldn't say they have their stride, because it's been said like TNG doesn't find its stride until third season, but not to say they didn't have good episodes. And I think this is a good episode. I think last episode, this episode, they're really finding how they're going to use this crew and stuff. I think, you know, there are some. It's definitely aged a little. Like I said, when Worf was like, almost lost my mind. And even when Entity had Picard and he, like, throws electricity in everybody's body, like, even in that bit, not everybody's doing the same thing. Like, Deanna Troy's like, I'm blind, I can't see. Riker's just like, I can't move. Troy's like, or Tar's just like, ah, what's going on here? I don't even know. Like, I don't think they got direction of, like, what are we supposed to do here? Like, are we just all frozen? Are we all sitting? Like, I felt like everybody had their own bit that they were going to. So nobody truly had an idea of what was going on. But that being said, I think this episode 6.57, pretty good. Not too shabby. Can't wait for more episodes. And I can't wait till you come back with me on this journey of the next generation through Picard. Man, we're just getting started. We're getting started here in 10 Ford. It's good times. Like I said, I'll probably have some Discovery specials for 10 Forward coming out. And I am Zach. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, Throw Me Podcast Network. We're also on all podcast apps and such, so you can follow us there. And we will catch you on the next episode of 10 Forward. Cheers.